Make your way to Philippians chapter 4 as we close out our series here in the letter to the Philippian church that Paul wrote. As we look at this final exhortation, starting in verse 14. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This morning, we will be talking about giving. And that brings a ton of stress to me. I grew up in a church that passed a plate a couple times just to make sure they squeezed out enough dollars. The church made a list of what people gave so you know where you are at in order. I grew up in a church that giving was an entrance into heaven, not the gift of grace after you've been saved. In other words, giving is a fruit of the salvation, not to get you salvation. When we planted this church, when I planted this church in my home 12 years ago, I said we will never pass a plate at High Point Church. Because I want the people to give because it's a fruit of their relationship with Jesus Christ. Because they're led to. I want you to come here on a Sunday morning wanting to learn about Jesus and how to follow him. And maybe for some, how to put your faith and trust in him for the very first time. But when I go through scriptures, and I have over the course of 20 years now that I've been saved, that God saved me, you will come to passages of scripture that talk about giving. By the way, you're going to have a hard time reading scriptures if you do, and not run into verses like what we're running into in Philippians. I studied it out. There are over 2,300 verses in our Bibles that refer to our giving or lack of giving. Just set that in comparison. There are 500 verses talking about prayer. Why is that? I think it's because God knows that our attitude towards money is an indication of where our hearts are. We either follow gold or we follow God. We cannot serve two masters. I heard a quote said, money is to be our resource, but it is not to be my source. Solomon, the wisest man that lived, was the richest man that ever lived. And he said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. He says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth, his income. This is vanity. In other words, it's fleeting. David, his father, was also a very wealthy man. He said this in Psalm 37, better is a little that the righteous has than an abundance of many wicked. Not to be outdone, Jesus, the Son of God, spoke a lot about money. Specifically in Matthew chapter 6, he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then down in verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and he'll despise the other. You can't serve God and money. By the way, did you know God's word says you can test him in one thing? That's giving. Look at Malachi chapter 3. It says, bring the full tithe. God says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. When you read God's word, you will see that our giving back is a struggle. Otherwise, God's word wouldn't have to mention it so often. Before Jesus saved me, you wouldn't get a nickel out of me in the church. Laura and I had one of our biggest fights. Praise God, God's sovereign plan for us to get married, because this about ended us. We were in Chicago at a big Catholic church. And I think for the second time, they went around with a plate. And I still passed it by. And she looked at me like, are you not going to give? I'm like, I will never give. Because the church only wants money. When God saved me, I couldn't wait to start giving to Sailorville Church, the place that shared the gospel with me, the place that helped and discipled me. I loved giving, and I love giving at High Point Church. At the close of this letter, Paul is so thankful for faithful giving from the church in Philippi. Remember, Epaphroditus, we mentioned in this verse, was sent by the church to give this gift to Paul in Rome in prison. But it wasn't just in Rome. They were constantly giving. Paul finishes this exhortation to rejoice not in the amount that they're giving, but why they were giving. And that's our lesson for this morning. Lock the doors. We're talking about giving. Don't let anybody leave. Guys, this makes me so uncomfortable. And I don't know why. I love to give. But I know that it is such a sensitive topic. So bear with me as we walk through God's word. And when we are faithful to God's word, we're going to talk about things that are uncomfortable. So a faithful giving is a fruit of a follower of Christ. Giving back, that's what God desires. So, number one, why should we give our treasure? Why should we give what God has given us back? Number one, it furthers the gospel. When we give back, it furthers the gospel. Look at verses 14 through 17 with me. I'm going to highlight a few things. Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble, and you Philippians yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, in other words, when I first shared with you the truth of the gospel. You guys received it. You believed it. And then all of a sudden you became partners with me in spreading the gospel. Because I didn't just stay in Philippi. I left. I went to other places sharing the exact message that I shared to you that you received with great joy. And by the way, they were the only ones that sent Paul money. So that means believers struggle with giving, don't we? But he's rejoicing in that they gave. They sent help for his needs once and again. It was just a natural thing for them because they wanted the gospel to go forth. And it took money for Paul to travel around. Paul recognized that this was a fruit. This is a fruit of their salvation. The Philippians saw that their giving was a partnership with the furtherance of the gospel. In verse 14, he uses the word share. It's the same verse for partnership. It's the Greek word koinonia. It's the word we get fellowship. It's that thing that binds us together. And what binds us together in fellowship? That Jesus died for our sins and rose again. And they were thankful that Paul shared that message with them, and they wanted other people to know. So how, unless the Philippian church travels along with Paul in all these places, how are they going to know? They're going to trust that, Paul, you're the one that's supposed to do it in those areas. So we're going to gift you with money so that you can keep sharing the word of God. The greatest gift that these Philippian believers could ever receive was the good news of the gospel. And they wanted to partner with Paul so that other people could hear that message. Paul was writing this final exhortation, expressing at the end of this letter, an immense gratitude that they wanted to partner with him, to see the ministry continue to flourish. Paul was able to spread the gospel because of the gifts of this church. And by the way, we see that it was a fruit of these very believers, and it should be a fruit of ours as well, but specifically in the Philippian church, when people got saved, it seemed like giving was just a natural thing for them. For example, Lydia, in Acts chapter 16, verse 15, after she was baptized, and when you see baptism there, as it is throughout all of Acts, that's an understanding that she had received Christ and publicly declared to everyone that she was a follower of Christ and her household. And she urged Paul and Silas, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. In other words, let me give whatever I can give for you while you're in Philippi. But she wasn't the only one. The Philippian jailer who Paul led to the Lord, in verse 34, we read of him. And then he, the Philippian jailer, brought them up to his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Do you see the gratitude? They were so thankful that they were hearing the gospel for the first time. They received the gospel, and they wanted to be a part of Paul just sharing the gospel. It was the motivation. It's one thing to meet Paul's needs. It's quite another to continue to send him money so that he could continue to preach the gospel in other places. They wanted to give. Their giving was a way to advance the gospel. Wherever Paul was and when he was with them. See, when we give, what we are saying is, I am so thankful for what I have learned in the church, the gospel, that I want it to spread to as many people as I can. when you give, when you give to High Point Church, you give us the ability to meet in a school because, believe it or not, they don't let us be in here for free. So in a sense, when you give to High Point Church, you're advancing the gospel. And if you've come to Christ in the time that High Point Church has been around by God's grace, you should want the Bible of the advancement of the gospel to continue throughout all of Altoona and the Southeast Polk area, wherever the gospel would be heard. If my money can go to anything good, it should start with the advancement of the gospel. Because the church is a place where people hear the gospel. You can give money to any number of things, but what Paul was saying is, you know what you should do? Give to advance the gospel. So the application, naturally, to me, and I hope it's to us, is what priority does giving have to us? What's the priority? We know in the Bible this is a struggle for believers. I was reading in Haggai. Go to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai was a prophet when Persia took over Babylon. Babylon, who had, during the occupation of Israel, they took all of the Israelites back to Babylon. Babylon got destroyed by Persia, and Persia told Nehemiah and Ezra, or mostly Nehemiah, hey, go back to Jerusalem and you can rebuild the temple, and you guys can go back if you want. So a bunch of people went back. You can read it in Ezra. You can read it in Nehemiah. But Haggai was one of the prophets. And so all of these people went back to Jerusalem, and what was the first priority they had? Well, it tells us. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of God. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. He said, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while the house of God lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. What's your priority? You've sown much, but you've harvested very little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never get your fill. You clothe yourselves to be warm, and yet he who earns wages does not put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up into the hills and bring wood and build the house. That means the house of God. That I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says God. But what he's saying is, you look for much and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Priorities. So what Paul's saying is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, our number one priority should be for the advancement of the gospel. Yeah, I didn't know if I was going to get a lot of amens on that one. If my money can go to any good, the first priority should be for the advancement of the gospel. Which leads to the second point. Why should I give? Number one, because I want the gospel to go forth. Number two, because it shows that we are just stewards of the money God has given us. Look at verse 18 again. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. What's a steward, biblically speaking? Well, biblically speaking, in the Bible, a steward is a person that has been given responsibility to rule over the affairs of a household. The idea of biblical stewardship is that God has given you everything that you have. What are you going to do with it? By the way, stewardship started in the garden. When God created man, he gave him a task. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, he says, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion, stewardship, over the fish and the sea and the birds and the heavens and the livestock, creeping things that creep on the earth, and God blessed them. Unadulterated stewardship without sin. God told them, take care of the things I've given you, and that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. Adam would do so. You look at Genesis 2:15. He said, the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. That was stewardship. But then something happened. Sin happened. And when sin happened, stewardship became a struggle from that day forward. Can I get an amen on that? Even Paul says back in verse 15, except you alone, believers struggled with giving. Only the Philippian church gave. This church in Philippi was a faithful giving church. And Paul was thankful for that. Believers struggled then, and believers struggle now. So understand, to be a good steward takes a surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit. You will not be a good steward if you think you can do it in your flesh. Everything that you have and I have is stewardship. Do you believe that? If you don't, stewardship will be a struggle. Jesus, by the way, taught this principle of stewardship. Look at Luke chapter 16. He says, the one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. The one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful in which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. He says it in Matthew, he says it in Luke. By the way, Paul would not just say it to the Philippians. Well, he doesn't say it to the Philippians, but he tells Timothy, who was a pastor of the Ephesus church, he says this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6. This is what Timothy was supposed to teach. Godliness with contentment is great gain, believer. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out. But if we have food and clothing, these things we should be content. But those who desire to be rich will fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through its craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Our flesh says, but I went to college. I earned a degree. I make money. I worked hard. It's mine. Praise the Lord. Who gave you that mind? Who gave you that drive? Who gave you that business? Do we lose our theology when the cash comes in? Paul says we are stewards of what God has given us. Paul says, and Jesus says, many Christ followers are missing this blessing. So what's the application? Does this mean I can't have a house? I can't have a nice car? I can't have a 401k? Of course not. The point is, whom do you serve? Does money dictate your generosity? In other words, if God has gifted you with great wealth, are you truly giving back with the same generosity? And if you're thinking, oh yeah, let's get after the wealthy, this is a message for only the wealthy people. Well, listen to me. If you live in America, our dogs eat better than half the world. In America, our dogs eat better than half the world. We are so rich. The question is, are we biblical stewards? The words that Paul uses in verse 18 are words of Old Testament theology. What Paul is saying is this. Listen to me. Go to verse 18 again. You have to go back. There you go. A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So you have to think of it this way. When you give, you are giving in thankfulness to God. When you give, it is an appreciation for what God has given you. It's gratitude. Your giving isn't to a church or the pastors. You are giving back to God. When you give, you're giving back as a thank offering. So, how thankful are you? How thankful are you for what God has given you? A few weeks ago, a couple from Sailorville Church, our home church, asked to take me to lunch. They said they wanted to talk about the High Point Church building. And I don't know this couple. I've never met them, but they want to talk about our church building. I definitely would love to talk to you about that. And so they took me and my wife out to lunch and began to ask us questions, not even about the building, not even about what we need. They just wanted to hear our testimonies and what God was doing. They were more interested in what God was doing in his church than anything else. And I mean, we were there for 2 hours eating lunch with them. They were the coolest people ever because they just talked about the Lord. But at some point after 2 hours, I'm thinking, are they gonna give us anything for the building? Because I thought that was the original intention. But I was totally fine if they didn't. I mean, it was just a great meeting. And all of a sudden, the lady just starts to pull out her checkbook and starts writing out a number. And I don't know about you, but if I'm writing you a check, there ain't a lot of money. It could bounce on the way home. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, I mean, how much do people really have in their checking account? She folded it up and she gave it to me. And I don't know what's appropriate. I didn't look at it. But I just said, thank you no matter what. Thank you for wanting to partner in what God is doing at High Point Church. So I get in the car and Laura's like, hey, you going to look at it? I'm like, yeah, I guess I'll look at it. And to my surprise, I opened it up and it's a check for $500,000. And instantly I'm like, oh my goodness. I should have said something then. I instantly call him up. And I'm like, I am in absolute shock. And you know what he said? It's not our money. It's God. It's not about the amount, though that was pretty cool. It was about the attitude. that impressed me the most. It wasn't his. It wasn't theirs. They were just stewards of what God has given them. Why should we give our treasures? It furthers the gospel. It shows that we're just stewards of what God has given us. And then finally, it glorifies God. Why should we give? Because it glorifies God. It makes him famous. Look at 19 and 20. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever. Here it is, quite simply. Paul says, because you are giving faithfully, God will take care of you. How? Does that mean if I give $1,000, God's going to give me $2,000? Is that the idea? I mean, he could. But Paul is saying to the believers in Philippi, you will be blessed by God because you're doing it to glorify God. They are giving because it makes God famous. And that blesses God. And in turn, blesses us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Why do you give? It better be to make God famous. To glorify him. That's it. Paul says in verses 19 and 20 that God's glory is the source and the goal of all giving, or it should be. Not a pat on the back, not more stature, but because you want to make God famous. God's glory should be the core of everything that we do. So, why should we give? Why should we give our treasure? Number one, it furthers the gospel. We should want to give because we want more people to know about the saving faith of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and resurrection. When you give to High Point Church, by the way, I'll just start talking about it. Don't think you're giving for a chair. Don't think you're giving for bricks and mortar. You are giving so that someone can come to church and hear the gospel that you say you believe in and that they too might get saved. Because maybe they won't come to a school. Maybe they'll go to a church over there and by the soccer field. I don't know. But your mindset should be, I want to give because I want as many people as possible to hear the gospel. That's what our money's for. Number two, it shows that we're stewards. You have to recognize if you have whatever you have, from small to large, large to small, whatever it is because God is testing your stewardship. Your giving is really at heart of your gratitude to God. It has nothing to do with how much. It has everything to do with how grateful. Whether it's $5 or $500,000, if it is a heart for glorying God, that is biblical stewardship. And then again, it glorifies God. This exhortation to the Philippian believers is an exhortation to the church, to all believers, to listen to God's word, and how should we respond? Here's the unfortunate thing. You will hear this message, and you might say, good message. Praise the Lord, he finally talked about giving. But some of you will hear this message and nothing will change. Why do I know that? Because the prophet Ezekiel talked about it. Look at chapter 33. He says, as for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors and in the houses, they say to one another and each to his brother, come, let's go to church and hear the word of God spoke. Come, let's hear the word. I want to hear it. Okay, keep going. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as people sit, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths, they act, and their heart is set on their gain. And behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs. In other words, they like the message, they just don't like the action. With a beautiful voice, plays well on the instrument, for they hear what you say, but they will not do it. I heard a story told about a man who was given one wish by an angel. This man, it didn't take long for him. He said, I want a copy of the Wall Street Journal 1 year from now. Well, he got his wish. The angel gave him the Wall Street Journal 1 year from now. So he got in the paper and he started to look at all the stock prices to see which ones he needs to buy. And as he was looking, he suddenly glanced over into the obituary section and he saw his face. The Bible says, what profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Follower of Christ, you are not guaranteed tomorrow. Be stewards of what God has given you and point as many people to Jesus Christ with it. And to you that is here that does not know Jesus for salvation, let me say this first and foremost. If this is the first time you've come to High Point Church and your impression is, yep, see, they just talk about money. For some reason, God wants you here today. But I want you to know there is a free gift of grace that is being offered to you today. It doesn't cost a dime, but it did cost Jesus his life. He died on the cross for your sins so that you can have eternal life. He died so that you might live. And my challenge for you is not to give. No. Do not give. I love what Acts chapter 8 verse 20 says. Peter said to them, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You can't buy your way into heaven. You have to freely accept the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and put your faith and trust in him and not what you have, but what he did. And you will be the richest person ever. And you can live a life that glorifies God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. And Lord, you know I've struggled all week with this passage. Because first and foremost, Lord, I want people to know you. And I don't feel comfortable talking about money because of how I grew up and how it was a stumbling block. Lord, forgive me for withdrawing myself from passages like this because it was a great challenge to my heart. And God, may your church be like those in Philippi, recognized for their faithfulness, and so that people would look and say, man, God's doing something.
I want to know more. God, use us for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, let's sing one final song.